Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this extended morning mini edition of Film Festival Radio Show here with me, Janice Malone. And we are really living up to our, what do you call it, motto, slogan, tagline, where future stars and superstars happily coexist. And that is part of what we're talking about today, because we have once again some of the advancing contestants from season 9 of The Voice right here. They will be calling us 10-minute increments of chat, starting in just about, it'll be in a minute or two. And we did this yesterday morning, so if you'd like to take a listen to some of the contestants from yesterday's show, and they were all on yesterday morning. They said they were going to be watching tomorrow, last night. The Voice, I didn't get to see it. I had to go to a media event, but I'll play catch up shortly. But anyway, we are always delighted to have the contestants from The Voice. This is our 9th year of doing, you know, what we do with talking with them and what have you. And so now we're going to start things off with Maddie Davis from Team Pharrell. Good morning, Maddie.
Good morning, Janice. How are you?
I'm just great, Maddie. I am in your part of the world. I understand that you are from McKinney, Texas, and I'm in Dallas, Texas. So kindred spirits are working together here.
Yes, yes. Texas forever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you saw the show last night. Did you watch last night, or did you have studying? Or what did you do last night? Did you see the show?
Yeah, I always try to watch it live and sort of support my fellow teammates and even the people that aren't on my team. Because I mean, it's fun to watch when you know everybody that's on it.
Oh, yeah, and you know all the behind the scenes, you know, what's really happening and what have you. But here you are, you know, like some of the others, you're only 16 and you've already got this amazing stage, The Voice, behind you. So now I understand that you were homeschooled. So are you still being homeschooled? I was going to ask you, what do your classmates and everybody think about you being on The Voice?
Yeah, well, I still homeschool, so I don't really have any classmates. But I do have friends and former classmates. Yeah, and they're all very excited. All my friends are just over the moon excited. And at my old school, I went to public high school for a year, and so I still kind of identify with that high school and as my peer group and as sort of my, just my school. I mean, I went there, so I always kind of connect with them and try to keep them updated on what's happening, and they've been really excited about, my voice experience and really supportive, and it just keeps coming, and I'm really grateful for that.
So where did you audition to try for The Voice? Was it in Dallas or Austin or Houston or where?
Well, my first open call audition, January 2014 in Chicago, because any excuse that I can find to go to Chicago, I take, because it's my favorite city.
Oh, yeah.
But I was 14 years old when I first auditioned, about to turn 15, so a little bit, like, close to 2 years ago, you know, I auditioned, and, you know, now here we are, so it just kind of, you know, speak
to. So you
kind
of knew what to expect, in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had done the open call and I had gotten through the whole process. So by the end, the blind just kind of seemed like, you know, the next step in the audition process and not like the blind auditions that are on television, you know. So pretty cool.
So what did you sing the first time you auditioned at 14? What song did you sing?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know. I think I sang "Say Something" by A Great Big World because it was 2 years
okay.
ago and that song was still cool.
So for you, what was or what would be the most challenging part of doing the blind auditions for you?
The most challenging part of the blind auditions. I think, you know, just kind of not getting discouraged by a number of things that were happening. I mean, when you first fly out, when I first flew out and I got to the hotel with all the other contestants, I was completely, you know, just floored by the amount of talent that I was surrounded by and the people that were now my peers and my, you know, fellow contestants on the show. Everybody was so talented, and I don't know what I was expecting, but it was like I'm in a room with 100 of the most talented people I've ever met, and how am I gonna stick out, and how am I gonna set myself apart from these people in my audition? And so I struggled to find, you know, my thing. And a lot of that for me was song choice, and a lot of it was, you know, how I was going to do the song and what, like, changes I was going to make. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it worked, but that was something I was really sort of hypervigilant about going in.
And so when you know, you got your first chair, you know, turned around, was that for you, did you want to just pass out and faint, or did you want to keep going, or, you know, what was that feeling like?
Oh, I feel like I had blacked out up to that point. Like, I don't have that many memories of the time, actually the entire day before my audition. I was so stressed, I'm pretty sure I was just blacked out completely. But I vividly the chairs turning, because Gwen and Frel turned at the same time, and that was kind of the overwhelming part for me. Was, I mean, if one chair had turned, I would have been surprised, but two chairs turned, you know, right in the beginning, and it was, I was completely floored, and I just had no words.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I can totally understand if you just don't, it's like the rest of the day is just a big blur for you. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So after you guys, because I often wonder this, after the blind auditions and all that is done and everybody finds out who's moving on, for the rest of the day, do you, the performers, do you guys, do they let you have a chill out for the rest of the day? Because that's a lot of stress going through that. Or what happens immediately afterwards?
So everybody that got a chair sort of went to the hotel. And I mean, we all hung out for a little while, and then we all kind of went and took a nap together, like around the same time. Like, because it was that kind of stress and, you know, pressure is just so, so exhausting. You know, like you wouldn't believe, it's just, I got back to the hotel and I was talking to everybody and we ate, and then I was like falling asleep in the restaurant, in the hotel restaurant, because I was pretty much like spent, as far as talking to people and, you know, trying to talk to people and just being around people. So, and everybody pretty much felt the same way. And so we were all there and we were together. And then 5 minutes later, everybody was in their room taking a nap. And And it was, it's pretty funny, but that's just kind of how it is. And it's worth it, though. It's worth it, though.
Oh, I would say, yeah. So everybody just had, like, a massive nap at the same time.
Yeah.
That is totally understandable. It's totally understandable. Well, one of the aspects of your life and up to this point is so commendable is that when you were younger, you had a severe hearing loss, but after surgery, you obviously got your hearing back, and now you, so were you singing, or had you indicated that you had a talent for music before you had the surgery on your hearing, or what?
I was one of those kids that was always singing. I would get in trouble in class for singing when I was, like, in kindergarten, I remember. So, and that's, like, beginning of elementary school, so. And I had my surgery, my first surgery, a couple years after that. So, it was just something that I had always loved. And it wasn't until after my surgery that I realized that it was something that I was decent at, or, you know, someone told me that it was something that I was decent at, because maybe I got significantly better when I could actually hear myself. But
oops, we lost her. We were trying to connect Maddie with Yvonne here, but they only give us 10 minutes, as we all know, and so when those 10 minutes are up, they cut us off. But we were trying Yvonne. That was Maddie Davis, and I know both of you were originally, you were on Team Pharrell, but now you're with Team Blake, mm-hmm. So we are talking with Yvonne. Is it Acero or Acero?
Acero.
Acero. Okay, good morning, Miss mm-hmm. Yvonne. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
I am great. I had having a nice time talking. I wanted you to say hello to Maddie before, but we got cut off there. Have a really interesting story. You're from Aguila, Arizona, and do you know I have passed through your town? We were driving to California once. I'm not kidding. I kind of know where you are. I bet you have not met a lot of people who know.
nobody knows where it's at.
Hey, I've been through there. I definitely have been through there. So, okay.
That's so awesome.
I see where you auditioned for season 8 last year of The Voice. And so what do you think happened that you made it this year this far and didn't make it last year? Was it a song selection difference or what?
You know, I just think after not making it last season, it just, like, encouraged me to work so much harder. And, I came back this season more focused and, like I knew what I wanted to do. And I knew, like, I had just grown so much more in that year that I feel like this time I was definitely ready to do this, you know?
Well, hey, you are here. You made it this far. So last year when no one turned around, did you want to give up singing altogether then or what?
Did I give up singing?
Did you think about that? Oh, maybe I shouldn't even pursue this music thing or what?
No, definitely not. You know, it's all just a huge learning experience. I think I was definitely very upset last year about not making it on a team because, I mean, I wouldn't be upset, you know? But no, I never thought about like cutting music or anything. If anything, it just encouraged me to work even harder on my vocals and my personality on stage and just my overall experience, you know?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, did any of the judges or any of the cast members, you know, the behind the scenes people, did they remember you from last year or what?
Can you repeat that?
Sure. Yes. Did any of the judges or did any of the producers did they remember you from trying out last year?
Well, I know that Blake remembered me because I don't know if you've seen my audition from this year. He points out that I'm the cantaloupe girl, the girl from the fruit farm.
That's right. I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You live on a farm, and mm-hmm. cantaloupes, which is one of my favorite fruits. So do you find yourself? You work with your father manages the farm, so you still work alongside your farm with your dad or what?
Not anymore. It was just a summer thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's summertime and I was just trying to save some money, so yeah, that was the only place for me to work at.
Yeah, because your town is only like so big there. So.
Yeah, I mean you've seen it for yourself. It's so small.
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful mm-hmm. though. It has the mountains and the deserty. Mm-hmm. It has a different beauty about it. We were passing through there when it was almost sundown. It was gorgeous. Gorgeous sunset. Mm. But, mm-hmm. so, okay, where did you go? You're in small town Arizona, so where did you go to audition for both times, last year and this year? What city?
For my first audition, I actually flew out to New York, and I auditioned in New Jersey. Because, I mean, I wasn't even planning on auditioning for the show. Like, my cousin was actually the one who convinced me to do it. Because she called me up one day, and she was like, hey, I wanna make a deal with you. And she said that if she submitted a video to audition, that I would have to submit a video to audition, too. And I was on board and everything. I was like, yeah, all right. We were all super excited. And then, I don't know, after a while, we just kind of forgot about it. And then I started working at the farm, and probably 2 weeks after I started working, I got an email from the casting department saying that they added a new audition site in New Jersey. Well, my cousin lives in New York, so I called her up, and I was like, cousin, they're having auditions in New Jersey. And, like, all she said was just, come to me. So about 2 weeks, I packed my bags, and 2 weeks after, I flew out to New York, and she drove me out to Jersey to my very, very first audition.
Oh, that is so sweet. So I was thinking that you maybe auditioned maybe somewhere like Phoenix or Tucson, but you went all the way to the East Coast. God.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
Impressive. That is more than impressive. Well, just mm-hmm. like Maddie Davis and some others on the show, you are still a teenager, or just a gorgeous little teenager. How has it? You really are. Plus, you're very talented. So how have you? How did you manage to keep it a secret from your classmates and other family people that you had advanced this far and made it this time? I know, especially with last year that you did make it. I know you were ready to tell everybody. Guess what? I made it this year. But how did you keep it a secret?
You know, this year is definitely harder because, I mean, last year I missed so much school. And then once I came on TV, people were like, oh, that's why she missed so much school. So this time, when I wasn't in school, people kind of had an idea about it. But, I mean, I obviously didn't say anything to them. So once I finally came on and they saw my blind audition, they were like, we knew it. We knew you went back. But they had no idea what had happened after my battle, you know?
But
it's definitely super hard to keep it a secret. Because, you know, it's just so exciting, and you just want to tell the whole world about it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, for sure.
But,
absolutely.
But, you know, I managed.
You're here. You are here. We're talking. So, you know, I guess your town, you're probably the most popular young lady there today and this week and this month while the Voice is going on. Have you made it in the local newspaper yet or what?
Yeah, I have a couple times actually. Two times in the past month I've been on the front cover, which is like super awesome.
So now that you are, you got this national platform and, you know, everybody now knows who you are, what are your plans? Do you plan on going to college and pursuing, you know, music as a major, or do you plan, you know, just what are your plans?
I'm actually a senior this year, and I've been working really hard, you know, to just, like, do really good in school, and I've been applying to colleges and scholarships and everything, and I do plan on going to New York and studying music out there, hopefully, in the next year.
I'm going to New York. I was thinking it would be USC or, you know, some of the West Coast schools, but you're going to New York. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we really do, you know, we love it on our show when a lot of the contestants on the Voice, especially the teenagers, have decided on, you know, taking the chance, trying out and making it on a show like this. You just can't lose. There's no way. There is just no way. And I hope the next time if I pass through your town, is it pronounced Aguila or Aguila, Arizona? Oh, I lost her. Oh, I'm so sorry. Lost her. But, you know, that's part of the deal, as I told you. We only get 10 minutes of chat with each one of our contestants from the advancing rounds of The Voice, you know, going through blind auditions, and then they'll go to the next phase. The knockout rounds, and, you know, you saw the show, you know how it goes. So what we'll be doing is talking with, we're waiting on our next, Jeffrey Austin should be chatting, calling in right now. He's with Team Gwen Stefani. And so let's see, do we have Jeffrey here with us right now? Let's go back. Do we have Jeffrey here? Do we? Okay, let's find out and see. We're trying to get all of our controls here. Yes, we do. We have him right here. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just excellent. We had a little minute there to get you on board. But we have Jeffrey, you are on Team Gwen Stefani. In addition
yes.
to Gwen being gorgeous and talented, what is it like being a part of her team?
It's been an incredible experience being a part of Gwen's team. She is just so invested in her contestants and really cares about your own personal journey on the show, regardless of the results or other people's feedback. So she was really protective and invested emotionally as a coach. So the experience has been invaluable.
Oh, yeah. There is no way any of these coaches, I mean, no matter whose team you land on. But before when you were auditioning or thinking about auditioning, was she the coach that you've always had in mind, or did it matter to you?
I was kind of, you know, all over the place when I was thinking about what coach was going to happen. I really wanted to wait until I was in the moment to hear what they said, and luckily Gwen was the only one that turned around, so it was a pretty easy decision. But she's just so emotionally connected and really, like, a performer, and, you know, really cares about having an honest, true performance and being a showman on stage. So that's what I needed to work on the most, and I think that's where this team is where I would have gotten the most, you know, experience that is going to be valuable to my personal career. So I'm glad I'm on this team, but, you know, there's a bunch of different reasons to be on each team, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just, hey, just as long as you're on a team, that's what counts.
I know, yes, exactly.
Well, now, I understand that you work for a public relations firm in New York. So how has that worked out? Because I know you guys, when you get to the advancing rounds and the boards, you have to spend a lot of time away from school and work and all that. So did you tell your job initially what was going on, or how has this worked out?
Yeah, so I worked at Edelman Public Relations, which is my agency in downtown New York, and it was, you know, it was such a great experience, you know, taking a risk and going to New York and working in public relations. There was no kind of better way to get started in your career there. And they've been so supportive. They were aware that I was auditioning for the blind audition, and, you know, they kept me through the blind audition in case I didn't turn any chairs. But, of course, once I did turn the chairs, it was just too much of a time commitment to continue on.
Uh-huh.
I can go back at any time, but I'm no longer formally an employee there. But they've been so supportive. Everyone on that team was such a good friend of mine. So they're excited for me, and they would have me back.
Oh, that is great to know. But I have a feeling you will not need to go back at all because
I'm hoping it's going to take off, and hopefully, you know, this is a turning point so I can start in my music career. But you never know what the future holds.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, you having worked at a major PR firm like that, you have that experience under your belt, so you really can tell a publicist when you hire your own exactly what you want and don't want. So that whole experience of working there was valuable for you, I know, very much so.
Oh, yeah, so, absolutely. I mean, it's such a vital part of part of being an artist, too, so you're completely correct.
So for you, you know, being in New York, do you want to pursue musical theater or recording, or be a recording artist or live shows or what?
At this point, I would love to be a recording artist and record my own album and tour and do that kind of stuff. But you never know. I grew up doing musical theater, and I'm more of a classically trained musician. But there is a reason why I did give up musical theater. I'm not exactly the best actor, or especially the best dramatic actor. So it would take a lot to get me up there. But I would never say never to that.
So what musical instrument do you play?
I play just a little piano. I played tenor saxophone all the way through elementary school and middle school and just briefly in high school. But I play just a little piano. It's never something that I would actually play in front of people, though. It's more for myself.
Oh, hey, yeah. Especially when that's always good to have those skills as a singer, because you can always kind of fiddle around on the keyboards and, you know, and know what you want to say. So then when you get to a real hardcore musician, they'll know where to start with you. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
We love that.
Yeah.
That, so love that. So I assume, and I love asking the contestants from The Voice this question, because, you know, it's amazing how life can change in a year. So obviously this time last year, October of last year, what were you doing? Were you working at the agency or what?
Yeah, this time last year I was at Edelman in New York, you know, kind of finally getting settled and getting my bearings in New York. And, you know, I was working on Dove and Dove Men Plus Care, their Super Bowl campaign that we started our planning for this last year. So I was working in a completely different industry in sports, public relations. So it's a complete change. I mean, I've never done anything like this. I kind of gave up music after high school, and, you know, this is my first kind of start in it. So my life has completely changed.
Yeah, I would say in a major, major way. Well, okay, so in between working with the agency and such work, did you have time to perform at, you know, like local nightclubs or bistros or whatever around New York City? Because they had so many great little places for things like that, or what?
Yeah, I was, you know, I was a little, I've been, always been a little insecure and a little gun shy when it comes to, you know, getting out there and performing and, you know, really going for it. So it was always in the back of my head that I wanted to start doing that while I was in New York because it's such a great place. And like you said, there's so many venues. But I was just a little nervous, you know, as I'd been out of the game for a while. And so I didn't really go for it. I was just kind of making the decision to, you know, go back into music and try and do something. And The Voice was the first step to like that audition was kind of like my first step into trying to get back into it. And luckily the first thing I tried ended up being successful. But, you know, the job did not really allow for a lot of time. It was pretty hectic schedule, working long nights and weekends. So, that's why I knew that before I got, you know, too invested in that career that I really had to go for it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, Jeffrey, coming back, your comeback into music was huge. The first time you come back, back with The Voice under your belt. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful for that. And they, you know, really took a chance on just, you know, someone who doesn't have necessarily as much experience as other performers on the show. So, so grateful.
Yeah, I say congratulations for coming back with a blast there. And talk about the Big Bang Theory, But anyway, okay, we just lost Jeffrey. Our 10 minutes are up. So we are talking with, once again, with some of the, part two, some of the advancing contestants from The Voice. We talked with several of them yesterday. We just finished talking with Jeffrey Austin, who's on Team Gwen. And now we're going to talk with one of Jeffrey's fellow castmates, teammates from Team Gwen, Coda Wade. Good morning, Coda.
Good morning.
Well, I guess you heard me winding up, actually they just cut me off with Jeffrey. He seems like a really fun guy. So what is it like working and being out, hanging out with Jeffrey?
He is one of my absolute best friends. We still talk every day, and I am so glad that he was on Team Gwen, that we were able to become such close friends. He's amazing, an amazing vocalist.
Yeah, you can tell that he is. But so are you. So are all of you guys. You wouldn't even be this far. but you are, you know, the show takes place, you know, there in L.A., Hollywood. But you are originally from Hollywood, of L.A., I should say. But you have been doing this, I understand, since you were, what, four or five years old singing or what?
Yeah, pretty much. We have videos of me as a five-year-old just making up songs and singing them to my mom, and it was something that has obviously been in me forever. And the first time that I actually recorded and went into a studio, I was 9 years old, and we still have all those recordings and sessions. So I can't imagine my life without music because it's been with me for as long as I have been conscious.
Now, I understand that you used to have this all-girl rock band called The Bombshell. That's a pretty wild
name. Yeah, yeah. That was it was really fun. I was in high school when that started. I've been in bands since I was like 14 or 15, and that was just kind of a progression of other girls that I knew that were musicians and girls that I seeked out, and we just kind of put together this really rockin' band, and we wrote all our own music, and we loved it. We had a blast, and it's just something that, you know, has evolved my music career.
And so since you have been on The Voice and the word is now out, have you heard from any of your former band girl members there or what?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They've all been super supportive. I actually had to get in touch with them before any of this happened because there were some photos that were used on air of Bombshell. So I had to kind of text everybody and get their clearance and let them know what was happening. So they're all aware that this is happening, and they've been super supportive.
Wow. Oh, that's so good. That's good. I'd like to see that support like that from people.
Yeah.
Okay. Was this your first time auditioning for The Voice? Because I know a lot of you have auditioned before. So what about in your case?
I actually went to one of the open calls a few years ago. I think it would have been for season 3 or 4. And at the time, I was 19 or 20, and I got through the initial callback process. And at the time, something just wasn't right for me. I wasn't ready. I didn't feel confident enough as an artist yet. And then just recently for this past season, they still had me on record, and they reached out to me to come audition again. And something just kind of clicked, you know. And the second I got the call, I was like, I feel ready now. This feels like the exact right time. I feel like, you know, this is my time to kill it. And it has worked out great so far.
Yeah, you killed it.
Thank you.
Well, and, you know, I think auditioning for the first time or previous times is, of course, always a help because it lets you know exactly what to expect. Maybe a few things may change, but overall, you know what to expect and what not to expect. So it worked
out,
obviously. Definitely worked out for you.
Definitely.
So had you, and I'd ask your fellow teammate, Jeffrey, this question as well. Had you decided before, you know, even auditioning that you wanted to be on Quinn's team, or did it matter to you?
She was definitely the one that I, you know, if I could have been on any team, it would have been Gwen. She's someone that her career is a career that I've aspired to have. You know, she's kind of dominated a lot of different markets, and that's something that I would love to do. So she is someone that I really would love to work with and, you know, get to know and get tips from. So she's definitely the one that I, if I could have had any of the four, she's the one.
So what are some really cool advice and tips that she's given you so far?
During the battles, it was one of the most intense times of my life because I have spent a lot of time, you know, developing who I am and training very hard as a vocalist and working really hard and being in studios and trying to be as perfect as possible. And what she actually wanted from me was to let go of everything. She said, you know, I understand that you have training, but I want to just hear the passion and raw emotion and let go of your training and trying to be perfect and your technique and skill. And it was very, very difficult for me. And it took me a while to kind of really tap into what she wanted. And in the performance, I completely let go and I went crazy and I pulled out, you know, as much energy and passion as I could. And I think she saw that I was really listening to her and trying to do exactly what she had advised me to do. And I think that's what, you know, helped me win the battle.
What was the most difficult or challenging aspect for you with doing the battle rounds?
The song choice turned out to be pretty difficult for both me and my partner, Alex. And Gwen even acknowledged, she was like, I didn't realize, you know, how challenging of a song this is. It's not like a big, belty, huge, performance-y kind of song. And that's actually what made it kind of difficult because it was, I have more of a higher, belty kind of voice, and Alex has, like, a low, smoky voice. So the two of us together were having a really hard time trying to find that middle spot in this song where, you know, it worked for both of us because, you know, you can't have it work for one person and not the other because that's just not fair. So it was really challenging to kind of figure out a way for each of us to shine in our own way in that particular song.
Okay. And you guys did, but what was the secret of finding each for each of you? Did you guys kind of pull each other to the side and say, hey, look, this is what I'm going to do, this is what you're going to do? How did you guys find that balance with that song?
There was a lot of work that went into that performance between the band director, Paul. He made the initial arrangement and helped us find what key we each sounded best in. And then obviously Gwen and Selena had their notes for the performance and how we should perform it. And then we worked with the vocal coach, Trelawney, who really fine-tuned and perfected what each of us were doing. And it took a lot of work and a lot of time and effort. And then when it came time for the performance, I just had to tap into what Gwen had told me, because, you know, I can do a perfect performance if that's what she was asking for, mm-hmm. but she really wanted something different, and that's what I was, you know, focusing on. So I just let go, and to be honest, I don't even remember what I sounded like on that stage. So it was kind of all a blur, and I just remember trying my absolute hardest to let her know that I was listening to what she had to say.
I am hearing this, it's like a running thread with so many of you contestants, you know, after the blind auditions and after the battles, you know, you go, it was just a blur. I think I blacked out. I don't even remember the rest of the day. So that just shows you the intensity of the pressure. Oh, my gosh.
Definitely. Especially the battle rounds for me, I just kind of let loose, and that's what Gwen had wanted, to just let loose and not really think about the performance. So that was something that I had to do.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I know you have grown up in the entertainment business, and you know, got a lot more experience, even though you're only 23, than a lot of these people, because you grew up in it. But actually performing on The Voice, is it a lot more challenging than you thought it was going to be, or what?
It's very different than I thought. The performances itself is so much fun, because the audience, and it's just such a good vibe, that as soon as you get on the stage, the nerves kind of go away, and I expected it to just be really intense and very serious, but it's just very fun. Like, the coaches are all watching you and smiling back and kind of singing along, and the audience is just cheering nonstop, and it's the best possible scenario for a performance. It's just the best energy ever.
Okay. So, sorry, we just lost Coda Wade, because we now have, is it Sianna?
Hello?
Sianna? Hi, good morning, Sianna. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
It's Sianna.
Sianna, and
yes.
Your last name is M?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you are definitely on my radar as among these contestants. I mean, all of you guys are very, very talented. But you, for me, you are especially on my radar. You are so cute and just like a little doll. I could just put you in my purse and just keep walking. You're so cute. And listen to you. You have this little baby speaking voice. But when you get a microphone in your hand, I don't know who you become. Goodness.
Thank you.
Do you hear that a lot, that people see you, oh, she's cute and she's adorable and she's pretty, and they get, and you knock everybody off their feet when they hear you sing like that, or what?
Well, I just feel like when people first meet me, they kind of underestimate me, and they're like, oh, she's nothing to worry about. She's just a small girl. But I feel like when I sing, part of when I sing is I try to prove people wrong.
You have, for sure.
Thank you.
Looking at your blind audition performance, you sang the classic song Fever. And, you know, Gwen turned around after the first four notes. How shocked were you? Did you want to just, I mean, and also the fact that you're only 15 and you've got this voice like this. So when Gwen turned around immediately, what ran through your mind?
When she turned around, it was the biggest weight off of my shoulders, because I knew I only needed one chair to go to the next round. And when she turned around, I knew no matter what, I was moving on. So it was just the best feeling in the world.
Oh, yeah, and the reaction to your family backstage was so priceless. It's so cute. Everybody was just so excited for you, and naturally so. You, like I said, you chose the song Fever, and you're only 15. You weren't even thinking about, I don't even know if your parents were even born when Fever came out. So, how did you come about getting this particular, choosing that song?
Well, I love listening to all types of music, no matter what era it's from. And Fever is just, I love how Peggy Lee sings it, and I felt I could make it my own, and it would be something that people wouldn't expect, and so that's why I chose this song.
Well, it is definitely proven to knock people off their feet, just blindside them totally. And so, okay, you are 15, or do you, are you homeschooled, or are you in public or private school, or what?
Currently, I'm going to public school.
And so what is your school, I mean, what is their reaction to all of this, and how did you keep it a secret from everybody?
It was very hard to keep it a secret because I did the first open call audition back in January, and so it's been a long time that I've known about it, and it was just really fun to see my friends' reactions when they found out, and going to school the first couple days was pretty crazy, but people have gotten used to seeing me in the hall, so it's kind of back to normal now.
So the first, you know, when you, the night that you first aired for your performance, did you kind of call up everybody and say, hey, listen, tune on The Voice tonight, you need to see it, or what did you do? How did you, was it a viewing party at your house or what?
Well, my principal was probably the most excited about hearing that I was on the show, and he's like, I have to get the whole school to watch it. So we made an announcement on the school announcements telling everybody that I was on and that they should tune in.
Oh, what a cool principal. Oh, that's so
yeah.
nice. That
yeah,
is just
so
just
very nice.
So nice. So, I know that you've been all over the world. Your parents, or your dad's a pilot. So your plans, as far as, I mean, again, you're only 15, but what do your parents want you to do versus what do you want to do with your career?
Well, my parents tell me every day of my life, no matter what, Sianna, you're going to college, and I have accepted that. But
okay.
My passion, so I'd really just want to pursue that.
So no matter what, Mom and Dad have spoken, you're going to college. Okay.
Yes.
So have you thought about which any particular college in mind or what?
I'm not sure yet. I was thinking probably somewhere in a big city like L.A. or New York City, because I'd really love to experience places away from my home in Washington.
Well, those two cities will definitely help you do that, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, but for sure, yeah. Well, okay, can we get a little inside scoop on what Gwen Stefani has, I mean, I'm sorry, Pharrell has been telling you as a coach?
He is just the most humble man you'll ever meet, even though he's done so many great things for music. He's so calm all the time, and we call him like the Zen master because he's so calm, but when he gives you advice, it's very genuine, and I just take it to heart, and I just try to work on whatever he tells me to work on.
And so what are a couple of things that he told you to work on?
For the battle rounds, he told me that I need to work on my vibrato. And so once he told me that, I worked every day and tried to strengthen my vibrato and brought it to the stage.
Okay. Then you've obviously done that. So for you, what's been the most challenging part of the competition so far for you?
For me, we just became so close with the other contestants on the show. Like, we're just one big family, so when someone has to leave, it's just heartbreaking. But it's just part of the show, so, but that's just the hardest part for me.
Somebody had to leave. Oh. So have you remained in touch with some of the people who've had to go? Have you, you know, contacted them? You guys are Twittering or Facebooking or anything like that, or what?
Definitely, because of social media these days, like, I can talk to them whenever I want, and it's just so nice to know that we can still talk to each other, even though we're thousands of miles away from each other.
Oh, yeah, that's something about that social media thing. So, to further speak of social media, I bet your pages have just quadrupled since you've been on the show,
definitely.
Or have they?
Yeah, they have. It's been pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. Oh, I could. Oh, yeah. So, if people want to social media with you, how can we find you?
For Instagram and Twitter, it's just @IamSiana.
Okay.
Like my last name and then my first name.
Okay, and your name is spelled SiahnaIm.
It's my last name, which is IM, and then my first name.
And that's how we can find you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am going to really keep my eye out on you because, like I said, I think another thing, that song Fever has been a song that I love. And, I mean, the whole world loves that song. And when I saw you sing your rendition of it, and I said, oh, my gosh, she's just a baby. Look how she can sing like that. And so that really, really got my attention. So, Sienna, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
And we'll look forward to cheering you and everybody else on as the competition goes on, okay?
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Stay here then.
Bye-bye.
Oh, she's just so cute. That's little Sienna M. And we're going from cute to handsome now. We're chatting with Keith Simple. Good morning, Keith. We have Keith. Hello, do we have Keith? Okay, let's go back and see what happened here. We got to go back and we got to click on, can somebody click on Keith Simple's button here?
Can you hear me?
Is that him? There he is, Keith, good morning.
Hey, can you hear me this time?
We got you this time. It was pilot error on our fault, on our side. But we got you, Keith.
Oh,
we got you.
All I heard was handsome, and I was straight on the line, so that was
Well, that was you, yeah, the handsome part. That was you. Well, Keith, man, I tell you, you have one heck of a story here. You're on Team Adam. That's a big chapter in your life. And you are originally from Northern Ireland. So.
That's right.
Okay. Does the voice come on in your home country, in your town, your city, or where you were born, or what?
It won't come on actually at the time, but it will go on as a when the whole show's done, it'll air. But everybody's just got to watch, unfortunately, afterwards on YouTube or whatever from the NBC channel. So it's not an ideal situation for the people at home, but they're still rooting for me and hoping that I do well. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess they can watch online. I can't remember if the show streams live online or not. I'll have to look that up. Well, anyway, you're there. You're on the show.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, you are on the show. And I know, is it Larney, North Ireland?
It's pronounced Larne.
Larne, okay, North Ireland, Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I know right now you must be more popular than the mayor right now over there, for sure.
Well, it is kind of weird because I'm doing, obviously, an awful lot of interviews and things, but I have to set aside an actual amount of time to do the interviews back home because there's so many coming in that I want to make sure I don't in any way neglect you know, doing them, and I'm, because I'm so busy here in America, so I'm giving everybody as much time as I can back home, make sure they get to interview me and we get to catch up and I can tell them all about the experience.
Well, I see where you now live in Chicago with your wife and your daughter, but you have toured Europe, all over Europe. So are plans to continue with the European touring after The Voice, or do you know yet?
Well, in a perfect world, this would be a platform to allow me to, you know, to start touring the world for the next 40 years. I mean, all the people that I admire are people that are still touring after 30, 40 years, like Bryan Adams and people like that. And that's what I've always wanted to do. And I've done it to a smaller level, but obviously I want to be able to just basically do 6 months of touring, 6 months of writing and releasing, and 6 months of touring. That's all I ever want to do for the rest of my life.
Well, this might be the platform to do it. Just could be. You never know with this craziness how entertainment works. But so what was your journey to get on The Voice? Did they find you, or you found them, or were you a longtime fan of the show, or what?
I've always been a fan of the format of the show, just because I like how they kind of cut through all the red tape. You know, they kind of just go, like, we're all about showing talent, and we want people to enjoy it because of the talent level. But no, they actually found me. I didn't really enter myself or anything, but I got asked if I would come, and I said, sure, why not? I'm one of these guys that I just, you know, thought about it in a split second and said, yep, I like the idea. And I went and I tried out, and of course, after a couple of auditions, they said, yeah, we want you to come and try out for the sort of the one before the blind fit thing, and they liked that too. And before you know it, I'm on stage in front of four absolute megastars.
Gosh, just like that, just like that. And that's usually
exactly
how it happens. You know. So for you, what is the most challenging aspect of it? And I love asking different performers that for you personally.
The most challenging? Is that what you're asking? What's the most challenging part?
Yeah, for dealing for competing on the show.
Oh. I guess for me it's just trying to keep myself healthy, keep myself fit, and keep myself educated. I'm a very big I'm a bit of a science nerd and stuff, and I like to read a lot, and so I'm trying to make sure I don't sacrifice all the things that I love to do for it. So I'm basically working out a lot when I'm at the hotels, and I'm learning my songs. But I guess there's not one thing that's worse than the other. You know, I'm just basically trying to make the best of every part of it, because it changes every day.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, all of it. Rehearsals and what have you. So Adam is your coach, and so, you know, what is some stuff that he's telling you? Because I would like to know what the coaches are, you know, inside scoop on what they're telling their performers.
Well, I've been lucky in the sense that Adam has really just sort of repeatedly said how similar we are, in the sense of our styles and what we do and how we sound and all this. And so he really hasn't had much criticism or critique other than just encouragement, because he knows that, you know, this is something I've been doing for so long. Like he has, I may not have had quite the successes he's had, but he realizes that I've been doing it to a high level and that I know what I'm doing. And so it's really just been like, take care of yourself, make sure that you're ready, make sure you learn the stuff, and you'll be fine, which is nice to hear when you've got those words of encouragement from such an icon, you know?
Oh, my goodness, yes. To have Adam Levine not really tear you apart, your performances, and give, you know, make these great comparisons to himself, I know that must be a big, big boost of confidence for you. Gosh, love it.
It certainly is. Yeah, it's nice to hear. But and he seems to, off the camera, you know, he really seems to treat me as much as he can, at least as an equal level. And that's a very weird feeling, because he doesn't make me feel like he's trying to talk down to me, you know, which is a very, very hard thing for somebody like Adam to do, I'm sure, because everybody looks up to him as being such a success. So it's nice that he makes me feel comfortable.
And that's good to let people, let the public know that he is such a down-to-earth kind of guy like that with his, you know, having the superstar status and what have you. So when you guys are the team coaches, how much rehearsal time do you guys get with the coaches? Is it an hour, a day, 2 hours, 3 hours? How does that work?
There's normally 3 or 4 hours, I think, total, or maybe a little less, where that, you know, you're in and you're practicing with the band and you're practicing with the coach, and then you've got the sort of the on-camera stuff, obviously. It's the only disappointing thing, actually, about watching the show is that there's so much stuff happened that they can only show, obviously, a limited time because they've got to fit it all into a show. And obviously, even some people, unfortunately, have to be, you know, monetized or not get as much time as others. And that is, you know, the reality of the show. But I'm just disappointed because I'm like, oh, well, they didn't show that bit that was really funny or this bit here or, you know, like that. So much stuff happens in those moments that, you know, that I remember as the most important thing on earth. But they obviously, looking in from a show perspective, are like, well, we'd rather show this part than that part, you know.
So with you being a professional full-time musician and traveling the world and the States and probably obviously performing throughout Chicago, and then going to, you know, to this level of being a performer where everybody's waiting on you hand and foot, what is that like for you?
It is very weird. You know, I have made this comparison, and I think it's quite funny when I think about it, is I went from doing 20-ish shows a month, 2 hours a show. You know, I'm singing 2 hours every night, 15 to 20 times a month, to singing 90 seconds in 1 month. And if you think about it, it's just the absolute opposite of what I normally do. You know, I'm normally on the road, or I'm, you know, I'm traveling in the Chicago area. I'm gigging, I'm playing, I'm singing, you know, 40 songs in a night, and then I go, and all I have to do is concentrate on 90 seconds of a song. And for, you know, for a whole month of videoing and recording what we're doing. And I'm like, it's very weird, but I'm enjoying it because it's such a change. Because for those who don't know that are listening in, I mean, when I moved to America in 2006, I have done 1,800 shows since then. That is how many shows I've done.
How many?
So I don't think people maybe realize 1,800. I have done an average of 200 shows a year since then.
Oh my gosh.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, with my old band, Seventh Heaven, it was extremely challenging, but extremely rewarding. And, you know, obviously I reaped a lot of benefits from it. So I'm not complaining. But now I'm enjoying my new band where I get to do one or two shows a week and not basically run myself down trying to keep up with the schedule all the time.
Well, Keith, you have, not only have you paid your dues, I think you've been overcharged on paying your dues, 1,500 shows. So how long have you been in America officially?
I've been in America just over 9 years. I moved in October of 06, and now it's October of 15. So my anniversary there was on the 2nd of October. And I've literally not looked back since. So it's been pretty incredible, really. Fun ride.
Well, what a great anniversary gift for you. October, this time, this year, here you are on The Voice. I mean, gosh, can't get too much better than that, can you?
I agree, and I'm really looking forward to people seeing my knockout round because I felt like I feel in myself like I'm giving more each round, and I feel like I just can't wait for somebody like the American public to tune in and watch this next.
Oops, we lost Keith. Keith Simple, he's just amazing. 1,500 shows that he's done since he's been here in America, and you're talking about paying your dues. Dude, you rock. You rock, Keith. He's with Team Adam. He's originally from Northern Ireland, but he is really making a name for himself here in the States. And now that he's on The Voice, hopefully he will become a household name in time. So that's Keith Simple. And so now we are going to tune in and click on Chris Crump on Team Blake. He is our last guest for today. Do we have Mr. Keith Crump? Let's see. Chris Crump, I should say. Let's see. No, we don't have. Not yet. Okay. Well, anyway, Chris Crump is from Baytown, Texas, which is right near Houston. And how do I know that? Because I grew up in Houston, and I know where Baytown, Lee City, all of those places are great seafood towns. They're right on the Gulf, and I mean, they're just really cool to go and sit out on the wharf on the bay and just eat seafood and enjoy the water. So we are, let's see if Chris is going to give us a call or not. I think, we have about 6 more minutes before he gives us a call. I got the times wrong there. But anyway, we have been having a lot of fun talking with today's advancing round contestants from The Voice. Started off with cute little Maddie Davis, Yvonne Asiro, Jeffrey Austin, Coda Wade, Sienna M., Keith Simple, and Chris Crump will be our final guest for today. Chris will be calling us in just about 5 more minutes. So we got a little time here for The Voice. I did not get to see last night's show because I had to go to a press event. But I can tell you that we are going to do it all over again for a different round of contestants who have advanced on. We're going to talk to a week from today, on the 27th, we'll be talking to the next round of advancing artists from The Voice. And right now, of course, we don't know who everybody is, but we'll know. It will be next Tuesday, the 27th. Oh, my God, that's Halloween week, isn't it? Yeah, we'll just have, we're going to call that our Halloween show then, even though we'll be talking with the next set of the advancing rounds of The Voice. So I want to quickly tell you about some auditions here, if I can, really, really fast. Hold on a second here. Okay, here we go. This is an audition notice that I get a lot of these, and we're going to start having a whole segment just for talk about auditions. Here is a television show in the Southern California area. So they're looking for people specifically who live in Southern California area. And if you want to take somebody to small claims court, there's a new TV show that they're putting together, and it's going to have a celebrity involved. So if you want to take somebody to small claims court and have a celebrity plead your case, this is the new show that you may want to get involved with. The executive producer of this new show is the executive producer of the show Wipeout. And they're doing a new court television show. It's going to be in a real courtroom, and the celebrity is going to plead and argue your case. Okay? So even if you don't win your case, you'll still win because you're going to get to hang out in Southern California. And you'll be on television, national television, and you will get paid for it, for an appearance fee. So, again, if you live in the Southern California area and you have a small claims court situation, and, you know, small claim court, it has to be $5,000 or less. And if it's a dispute with a relative, a friend, a coworker, you know, a trashy roommate or something, you've seen these shows, these court shows, you know how I go. Except with this twist, a celebrity is going to plead your case. So, live in the Southern California area, and you need to send your name, your first and last name, your contact telephone number, a brief description of your situation. You want to sue Bob or Mary, or maybe Bob or Mary are suing you. How much money that you are seeking in damages, or how much money you are being sued for. Include a picture of yourself in a JPEG format, and you need to send all of that to this email address. hollywoodlawcases@gmail.com. And again, that's hollywoodlawcases@gmail.com. And you never know, you might get selected. You might get selected for this new show where a celebrity will be pleading your case. We don't know which celebrity, but it sounds like it could be a lot of fun, nevertheless. So give it a chance. If you didn't get all of the information, you can always email us here, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to send you that information, send you the email address, send you the details again on what you need to include, and that is your name, your contact phone number, a brief description of your case, why you want to sue the person or why the person is suing you, and don't have a whole deposition. You know, just get right to the point. How much money you are seeking in damages or how much money you are being sued for. Include a recent picture of yourself in a JPEG format and send it to hollywoodlawcases@gmail.com. A new TV show that they are putting together, the same executive producer people that did the hit show Wipeout, and they're doing this one, so you know it's going to be a hit. I mean, once you have a major hit, usually, you know, the next project or two just seems to fall into place and become a hit as well. And again, with this show, you will get paid. Okay, let's see. Do we have time for one more? We are awaiting for our final guest from The Voice to give us a call, Chris Crump from Baytown, Texas. He's on Team Blake. He should be calling us in just about any second now here, we hope. And we will then be concluding our show for today, but we'll be back to do it all over again on Tuesday. A week from today, with whoever will be the next set of advancing contestants from The Voice. Because we do that. We have a lot of fun with them. And, okay, we're getting a call here. Maybe our, from the conference call person here. So let's see who we have on the show here really fast here. So, okay, do we have Chris Crump with us? Hello? Hello, hello. Do we have Chris Crump with us?
This is he.
Hi, Chris. Good morning. We were, something went crazy. We thought we were going to have you on our call-in line, but for some reason they put you on our regular phone line here. But nevertheless, we have you. That's the main thing. So how is everything going? I shouldn't even ask that because you are... you know, you're on The Voice, so life couldn't be too much better, now could it?
It's pretty good. Say a lot.
That's good. That's really good. Well, Chris, I see that you are from my neck of the woods, so to speak, of Baytown, Texas. I grew up in Baytown. I have relatives there. So in like 10, 15 seconds, tell everybody what is the coolest thing about Baytown, Texas?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not really from Baytown. I'm living there now, but I grew up in Pasadena, Fort Houston area. So I'm just getting acquainted with Baytown. I haven't lived here quite a year yet, but my wife lives here. And I will say one of the coolest things about Baytown is the law enforcement.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like a really odd thing to say.
Yes.
They are super cool and super nice here. Like, every time I've gotten, like, pulled over or anything like that, they are so nice and courteous, like beyond what anyone would expect. So I'm a big fan of the law enforcement here.
Well, Chris, that is so, especially nowadays, to give law enforcement anywhere a thumbs up and a high five, I know they're going to really appreciate that. So, all right, Baytown law enforcement, we salute you too. God, wow. Well, now, Chris, we don't want you to get pulled over too much now, so, you know, maybe...
Usually when it's pulled over, it's for an expired tag, so I'm kind of bad at it.
Well, you're a little busy here with The Voice and, you know, playing in bands and such. But you're a newlywed, I understand. And how long have you been married?
Haven't really even been married a year yet. It'll be a year on February 27th.
Oh.
And so still, and obviously married life is great, but a little rocky because, well, not rocky in relationship life, but rocky because I'm gone so much.
Yeah.
So we just got married and I'm never home, as you can imagine. So we're having to do a lot of FaceTime and things like that so we can just kind of stay in touch and, you know, try to navigate the married waters as best we can with this crazy lifestyle going on right now.
It's a good crazy, though, since you're doing The Voice. Now, what is this about?
Oh, yeah.
You guys, you left the reception, the wedding reception, early because you had to go audition for The Voice. Tell us about that.
Well, people don't believe me when I say this, but it's true. It was 100% my wife's idea, even for me to do The Voice.
Uh-huh.
She said, you should try out. I said, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be good enough. It's just going to be a waste of time. And she said, well, because the only day for our audition was the day after my wedding. And I said, I'm kind of, you know, let's go on a honeymoon, you know, let's finish our wedding and that kind of thing. She's like, no, I'm spent on this. So we left our wedding about at 10 o'clock p.m. While people are still having the reception and still singing and dancing. So we left and we drove 3 hours up to Austin, and the next day was the audition, and it has just been a whirlwind since then. I give her complete credit. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those I told you so moments for like the rest of my life.
Well, Chris, I can truthfully say, from this point on, listen to your wife, please.
Oh, yes. She tells me everything on how to dress, how to drive, and so why not? I might as well keep this thing up.
Hey, she hit a bullseye on The Voice, because here you are. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So for you, what's been the most challenging aspect of all this? Different singers have had, you know, they have their different challenges. But for you, was it the knockouts, or was it the battles, the auditions, blind auditions, or what was it?
Everything is a lot more challenging than I ever gave you credit for by watching the show. It's really easy to sit on the couch and say, oh, I can do that, you know. But once you're there, and I think the most nerve-wracking thing for you is the blind audition. Because you think about it from an artist standpoint like myself, who I'm used to playing at bars and clubs where nobody turns around. They're all just more concerned with what they're drinking, you know, or who's playing whatever sport on TV. So just to get people to pay attention is a huge deal. And so now I'm walking cold into a room, which I've never seen. I can't gaze the audience because I've never seen the audience. I don't know the room. And I've got these four chairs of superstars that I just want them to turn around for me. So it was incredibly nerve-wracking, like one of the most nervous times I've ever been in my life, and that's even including standing at the altar for my wedding.
Oh,
you know, it was nuts. So as soon as they turned around, and they turned around a lot faster than I thought they were going to, it really shook me up. I was like, wow, I've been trying my whole life to get people to turn around and pay attention. And now I'm staring mug to mug with Pharrell, and it's intimidating. You know?
Man, when they did turn around, they turned around. You got to turn around. Oh, my goodness. I don't know, Chris, if I could have continued singing after everybody started turning around. Did you want to just faint or what?
There's a lot of things I wanted to do, and at that point, it was just, it was actually harder for me to keep singing at that point, because I thought the hard part was going to be, you know, getting them to turn around. But as soon as they turned around, it got a lot harder for me, because I wasn't just seeing them turn around. I was seeing all of the things that my wife and I had dreamed of and have prayed for and have worked towards, you know? Like, I saw my future in the eyes of all those coaches.
Yeah.
And it rattled me, you know? And it was, at that point, it was just muscle memory. Just do the song. Muscle memory. Do the song. It was hard. I was so happy. I wanted to do kind of what Mark Good did, was jump around and clap the face and all that. But I couldn't, you know?
Mark was hilarious.
Guitar, you know?
Yeah.
It was actually an impromptu thing for me to stop playing the guitar. When I put it behind my back, I was just like, okay, this is getting in the way.
Did you almost forget the lyrics as you went on, or what?
Yes, because even though it's a phenomenal song by Ed Sheeran, I wasn't really, I hadn't been playing it for that long, because it's still fairly a new song. I'm still trying to learn the ropes over it. Like, it's a great song. So I thought it was incredibly appropriate to sing, especially after my wedding. And so I knew it, but not as well as maybe I would have liked to, So I had to, extra learn it. And so all of a sudden, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to mess the song up. And it's such a loved song. It's such a great song. I hope I don't mess it up. So, yeah, all those things are running through my head. That and don't look weird. Don't look nervous. And just finish strong. Every emotion that you can imagine just washing over you. That's why I say muscle memory came in. Because if it wasn't for that, I would have let all those thoughts come over me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all totally understandable. And I, Austin, we've been talking to you guys, contestants on the boards, ever since the show first started. And it's just amazing that no one yet, I don't guess, a contestant hasn't just fainted right there when the first chair turns around.
I think a lot of us want to, but they even kind of tell you, they're like, all right, guys, when they turn around for you, guys, just keep singing. Mm-hmm. They just tell people, hey, if you messed up, who cares?
Keep singing.
And they're right, that's what we had to do. So I think a lot of us were prepared mentally. The way I tell people was I was expecting them either to turn. I was hoping for maybe one, at the most three chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, if they're going to turn for me, they're either going to turn right off the bat because they like the tone of my voice, or they're going to turn at the very end of the song after I've done all the flashy stuff. But they turned right when I hit the chorus, and I wasn't ready for that. And I think every contestant can tell you we have it in our heads how we think it's going to play out. And then when it doesn't play out that way, you're just left to just go, oh, man, just experience, and muscle memory is what really kicks in.
Those are some good tips to tell people who are listening out there. Oh, we just lost Chris Krupp. But what an incredible story. He left his what am I saying here? I thought you were on the phone. Anyway, I thought I had disconnected you. But, Chris, that is really good information to tell potential people who are trying out for the show that if they get to this level, just keep singing no matter what. Keep singing.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, after all is said and done, I think you and your bride are due for a really nice honeymoon somewhere, all of this work.
That would be very nice. Yes, so I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, Chris, they're telling me I've got to wrap it up. Thank you so much for sharing some insight about journey to The Voice. And we'll keep cheering all of you guys on. And may the, especially for somebody from Texas, win. That's what we're hoping for this season.
Yes, well, thank you all for your support. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, great. Take care then. Bye-bye.
You too.
Okay, that's going to do it. That's our final guest, Chris Krupp from The Voice. He's our final guest for this year. He's on Team Blake. And we want to thank all of our guests for this morning's show, Maddie Davis, Yvonne Acero, Jeffrey Austin, Carter Wade, Sianna M., Keith Simple, and Chris Krupp as they continue to battle, knock out, and sing their way to hopefully becoming the next winner of The Voice. And, of course, we always want to thank you guys for listening to us. And join us next Tuesday, a week from today, when we will continue to talk to even more of the advancing winners of, not winners, but the contestants to The Voice. So we'll see you guys on our next show. Take care. Bye-bye.